Yours truly, Bob Muscatel, here with you, and always a pleasure to welcome in Dan Schlossberg for Travel Thursdays, the very popular baseball writer that has just come up with his latest book, and it's another great one, Baseball's Memorable Misses. We're going to have him on sometime soon to talk about that book, but today we got him on to talk about travel and to talk a little bit of baseball as well, because our subject today is Yankee Stadium.
Now batting, starting shortstop, number one in our hearts, Dan Schlossberg.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. A week from today. Looking forward to it.
Oh, opening day, man. And I was just talking about this off the air with you, and I figured you were the right person to talk to. I heard that every team plays on opening day, and that's indeed the case, you know, other than any rainouts or weather problems. But every team's playing. I think that's a nice move by Major League Baseball. What do you think?
It is a nice move, but what they really need to do about opening day is make sure all the teams that have covered stadiums are in use. Too often, covered stadiums go unused on opening day, and there are too many games rained out or snowed out.
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, we're, you know, knee-deep in, you know, March and April. You're absolutely right. Good point. So let's talk about Yankee Stadium, obviously close to a lot of Yankee fans' hearts. And, you know, we know that the original Yankee Stadium is no longer in use, but we're going to talk a little about some stadium history. So take everybody through a few key points.
Well, if you go to the opener next week, or if you go to any game, you can go to Monument Park and the museum free. And those two things are worth more than the game, in my opinion. I've been to both many times. Really moving to go there. Before the new stadium opened in 2009, the monuments, plaques, and retired numbers were moved across 161st Street and reinstalled in late 2008 and early 2009. Now, this is the best part. Ruth Gehrig and Miller Huggins had the three first monuments. They once stood in fair territory in front of the flagpole in deep center field. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I remember watching games and Bobby Mercer going out there trying to chase a ball, and he's got to watch out for the monuments and go pick up a baseball while it's in fair play. That was the weirdest thing, but it did make it was one of those things that made Yankee Stadium really stand out.
Oh, it did. Well, my favorite story is Jimmy Pearsall, because he was with the Los Angeles Angels expansion team in 1961, and Bill Wrigley was managing the team, and all of a sudden, he noticed that his center fielder was missing. So he called time, ran out to center field looking for Pearsall, and he was cowering behind the monument. And Bill Wrigley said, "What's going on?" Jimmy said, "I've got nine kids. Our pitcher's getting killed, and I didn't want to."
What do you want from a guy who ran the bases backwards? I mean, come on. Yeah, what are you going to do? Anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So give me a little more. When the fences were moved in the mid-70s, they planted a garden out there, right?
They did, and more plaques went up, and retired numbers were put up. And by the way, the retired numbers are listed in the order in which they were retired. So it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but it's in order in which they were retired. And Gehrig's number 4 was the first uniform retired by any team. That was in 1940, followed by Ruth's number 3 in 49, and DiMaggio's number 5 in 1952.
Man, I'm surprised they still have numbers for guys. They've retired so many numbers, the Yankees have. It's almost too many.
Yeah, you're right. Every single digit number is retired, and number 8 is retired for both Bill Dickey and Yogi Berra. And personally, I think number 9 ought to be retired for both Roger Maris and for Greg Nettles, but Nettles has not been honored that way yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. They had to, you know, I saw in your notes, this was interesting, I didn't realize this, the Gehrig Monument was dedicated on July 4th, but it was actually July 6th because of a rainout. I didn't realize that.
That's true. It was already carved. The, you know, granite plaque was already carved or whatever, and that's why it says July 4th, but that game was rained out, so it was actually unveiled on July 6th, 1941.
And, you know, we mentioned they have a lot of retired numbers, 24 of them. That's a lot of numbers. And Paul O'Neill's was the most recent, right?
That's right. And Monument Park has 38 plaques. So it's interesting. Every player with a retired number gets a plaque, but not every player with a plaque has a retired number, such as Lefty Gomez.
Interesting. Aaron Judge visited the museum. He must love it, considering his name will probably be there someday, but not yet. But he went out there as, listen, he's a fan just like everybody else, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. He said he loved holding Babe Ruth's bat and Mickey Mantle's glove when he was visiting.
Yeah. The museum is right near Section 210. If you've never been to it, folks, it really is fascinating. And they rotate a lot of the exhibits out there, right?
Every year or two, they rotate everything. And most pieces, by the way, are borrowed from collectors. Hmm. Very interesting. I mean, people get all these things, you know, piecemeal. They buy things. They're gifted things, whatever. And they donate them to the museum. Actually, they loan them to the museum. It's not really a donation. They loan them to the museum, and that's why things are rotated. But there are a lot of great exhibits in that museum. I love the museum. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I love the museum because it's baseball history.
Yeah.
They have Yankees by the numbers, and that includes, obviously, Garrett, 2,130, DiMaggio, 56, Maris, 61. And Bronx Bombers is another exhibit, features Yankee sluggers, includes the uniform Roger Maris wore on October 1st, 1961, when he hit his 61st home run. And there's also a special exhibit to Mariano Rivera and Mike Mussina, who were both elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2019.
You know, we were just talking about Yankees by the numbers. Is that, you know, I haven't been to Yankee Stadium in a bit. Is there anything out there, Yankees by the numbers, regarding the 62 for Judge last year? I would imagine that's got to be reflected out there as well, huh?
Well, when I go to the opener next week, I will look. I'm sure there will be.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go.
All right. This is interesting. Only 26 of the 27 World Championship rings are there. I didn't realize this. This would have made for a very good trivia question, but I'm going to give it to you guys free. Because in 1923, players didn't get rings. They got pocket watches. How about that?
That's right.
That's interesting.
So there was no championship ring the first time the Yankees won a championship.
Wow, that's interesting. So there's a lot of great stuff out there. The bat used for the first Yankee Stadium home run in 23 is on display. Babe Ruth, of course, hit it. He hit the first home run for everything back in the day.
He sure did. And the bat that Gehrig used for a four-home run game is also there. And that four-home run game is the first in the 20th century and the only one ever by a Yankee.
Yeah, how about that? Let's talk about the bat that Chris Chambliss used to hit the pennant-winning home run in 76 is there. They didn't pay it off with a world championship, but it's a pretty memorable home run nonetheless.
I was there for that game. That was incredible.
Wow.
And also the Jeffrey Meyer bat from 1996, the American League Championship Series. That's the ball that Derek Jeter hit, and Jeffrey Meyer was a fan and reached out and caught it. And he got a home run out of it, but actually it was a bad call by the umpire.
Yeah, it really was a bad call. You know, it's interesting that you ask most people, even some Yankee fans, you ask about that, and they'll remember Jeffrey Meyer more than they'll remember the guy who hit the home run, which was Derek Jeter. But most people remember Jeffrey Meyer's name.
That's true. And how many people know the name of the right fielder who protested, the Orioles right fielder? I do, because he used to play for the Braves.
Okay, very good. And he bumped the umpire out there. I can't remember who the umpire was, but yeah, it was a heated exchange. And for good reason, it was a very tight game. I think that home run either tied it up or broke the tie. It was a very tight game and very contentious. And that's a pretty famous bat that Jeter used for that almost home run. And you mentioned the exhibit includes some stuff on Rivera and Mussina recently. Boy, Mike Mussina's an interesting character. Didn't win 20 games until his final start in the major leagues in his last year in the month of September. He won his 20th, and that was it. The only time he ever won 20 games, but he's in the Hall of Fame, deservedly so.
Oh, he was a great pitcher, very consistent. You know, he would win 15 to 19 games every year.
Every year,
I remember
right. So
many times he won 19 games. And by the way, there are 870 signed baseballs in the Yankees Museum. And the reason for that number, they wanted everybody who ever Yankees to sign a ball.
Wow. Man, that's a lot of guys. They've got some statues out there. Larson and Berra, that commemorates the first and the only World Series perfect game from back in 56. That must be special.
That's for sure. And Thurman Munson's locker with uniform number 15 hanging stands alone, and as it should.
Yeah. If Yankee fans or any baseball fans have never seen the first time the Yanks took the field after Munson was killed in the plane crash, it is try to keep a dry eye. I dare you. It's not going to happen. Now, if you want to get further information about this, Danny, Yankees.com, best place to go, right?
That'll definitely do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mickey Mantle, we got to mention him. He was given a tape measure after hitting a 565-foot home run against Washington's Chuck Stobbs at Griffith Stadium in 1953, and that gave rise to the term tape measure home run.
Tape measure home run. How about that? Very good. You're always a fountain of information. Next week, I see in your notes, we're going to Lake Tahoe.
We need to cool off after all this excitement about Yankee Stadium.
That's exactly right. Hey, listen, Danny, always a pleasure. Listen, stay safe, enjoy, and I know you're going to be talking baseball for a while and a lot of travel with us, and we're very happy about that. Stay safe, my friend. Let's do it again next week, huh?
Thank you very much, Bob. You too.
You bet, buddy. That's Dan Schlossberg joining us today on WLIS and WMRD AM and FM.